Willkommen, meine Damen und Herren, zum Brauen-Nachrichten-Podcast. Ich heiße Andrew.
Ich heiße Travis.
Und die heutige Folge handelt von Marzenbier, auch Oktoberfestbier genannt. So, welcome to the Brewers Podcast.
Wow, did that in one take.
So, in case you're curious, we are doing, we're going to branch out a little bit. Instead of doing a brewery, we're not going to do a German brewery. We're going to do a German style today.
It's Oktoberfest.
Woo! Everybody break out your steins and get your lederhosen on, because we're doing this right. This is our Marzen episode.
Mm-hmm. This is Marzens, which are also known as Oktoberfest, Vienna Lagers, and Amber Lagers.
In the style that we currently know Marzens as, they are a very easy drinking beer with a nice amber color, middle to low alcohol, something in that 4-6 range. And a little bit of bitterness.
Yeah, these are considered one of the best beers for food pairings due to their lack of strong flavors. These beers are a lot more subtle than some of the other beers that we're used to.
Emperor?
Yes, a lot milder than that.
So the term Marzen beer actually translates into March beer. This is the month that beers were brewed. That's why they have so many different names: Oktoberfest, Vienna Lager, Amber Lager. All these typically mean the same. They're all part of the Marzen family tree. The reason that they brewed beers in March, this goes back to the German purity laws, which we will cover in great detail, not today.
Oh, I was going to say, please.
They're actually pretty simple, but we're not doing that today. They were brewed in March to avoid wild yeast strains that were predominant in April and September.
Yeah, this is not what we call Marzens today. These beers were a lot darker than what we traditionally drink today that we associate as being Marzens or Oktoberfest. And what follows is the tale of what we know today as the current Marzen.
All right, let's talk about the Marzen. The Marzen was created independently, simultaneously by two different brewers.
Independently at the same time.
Yes. It's not like calculus where like, was it Leibniz and Newton both did it, but they're like little off by. These guys literally came out with their beer in the exact same year.
Huh. This is, and I'm going to butcher this probably.
Would you want me to handle this one?
Yeah, I'll let you pronounce the names.
All right, so the Vienna brewer was Anton Dreher. He's from Vienna, and he was part of the Klein Schwacht, I butchered that, brewery.
Klein Schwacht.
It's probably Schwechat or something like that. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
It's in the tasting notes if anybody wants to actually read it.
Yeah. And then the Munich brewer is Gabriel Seldmeier. And he started a brewery that we all still know and love called Spaten.
And speaking of Spaten, we have a Spaten.
All right.
This is the Spaten Oktoberfest. So we're also switching it up today. We're going to drink as we do the episode as opposed to having our tasting portion separate from the information.
Yeah, so we wanted to start with the oldest Oktoberfest. Since we're going to be going through time in this episode, we're going to start at the end, and then we're going to end somewhere in the modern American Oktoberfest world. Let's start with our Spaten Oktoberfest.
Yeah.
Like we said before, this is a Marzen. It is 5.9% ABV, 23 IBUs. This is a darker Marzen beer than the ones they actually sell at Oktoberfest. It is a little bit darker in the U.S. and elsewhere than one to export. Spaten is one of six companies that can call their beer Oktoberfest beer legally in Munich.
Yeah, so there's a differentiator. So the Oktoberfest we're drinking is marketed in the U.S. as Oktoberfest und Marzen. So that's different than the one they sell in Munich for Oktoberfest in Germany. That is a golden Festbier, which is called Oktoberfestbier. And if you see Festbier on a German check-in, if you're doing Untappd or if you're reading about it and you see something that actually says Festbier at the end of Oktoberfest, that is a true German purity law,
right?
Oktoberfest.
And most of your German brewers, especially your Bavarian brewers, so that's your Munich area, they're going to follow those purity laws to a T.
Yeah.
And this beer smells great.
Yeah, it smells... Okay, so we need to take this time to break into Vienna Lagers and Amber Ales and that kind of thing. So technically, there's some beers that you will know that are falling within this category, and this beer, because the Spaten Oktoberfest is reminding me of some Sam Adams, Dos Equis Amber, and what were the others?
Do you remember? Sam Adams, Dos Equis Amber. We're going to cover a few because we actually had trouble getting Vienna Lagers from Vienna.
Yeah.
But
not a popular style in Vienna anymore.
It's not at all. Dos Equis Amber, Sam Adams, Victoria. So the Boston Lager from Sam Adams, and then Victoria Ale out of Mexico. We'll get to this in a bit, but the Mexican story about Vienna Lagers is amazing.
Yeah, and so the Spaten Oktoberfest is actually reminding me of when I go to a Mexican restaurant and get a huge mug of Dos Equis to go with my meal. Yep. Yeah. This smells exactly like that.
So the big difference in these Oktoberfests we'll talk about a bit is the malt. But this is good. I like this.
It's yeah, this is...
simple.
This Marzen from Spaten is 5.9% ABV. It's 23 IBU. So your Oktoberfest and your Vienna Lagers and Amber Ales tend to be on the lower IBU side, less bitter. The Oktoberfest actually tend to be just slightly more bitter than the Vienna Lager. It's got just a touch of hop on the end.
Yeah, and these are nice German hops too. Not the harsh Cascades or anything we're used to. More like, not the Mandarina, but in that... I think they're called Zaz hops, mm-hmm. usually.
But this is not notes of tropical fruits and things like that. When you drink an IPA and you get those hops and you think, oh, citrus, lemon, orange, tropical fruits, that kind of stuff. These hops are cleaner. Mm-hmm. They've got less distinct flavors, and it's more of just that, almost just like a pure bitterness.
Yeah,
it's so nice. It's just there to offset the malt just enough so that it's not an overly sweet beer. This is going to be a lot more well-balanced.
This is our OG Oktoberfest, or OG Marzen is really what it was called. Mm-hmm. So let's go all the way back to the 1840s. Let's go back to the 1830s.
Mm.
Both Gabriel and Anton were traveling throughout Europe in 1830s. In 1833, they both happened to arrive in Britain together. At this point, they're more or less going along the same trail together. And they, while in Britain, they learned how to create pale malt.
Although some people would argue that they stole the knowledge on how to create pale malt.
So there's actually a fun urban legend about this. So a German urban legend. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
A legend?
No.
Okay. a Berlin legend, one might say. Mm-hmm. But the old wives' tale, I guess, of the legend is that Anton actually took a cane, a false bottom cane that was hollow, and stuck it in the vat of a beer at like Bass during the fermentation process and stole some of the beer that he took back to make his Vienna Lager.
Huh.
This is fundamentally false. It can't actually have happened that way because that's a British pale ale that he created a Vienna Lager.
Not remotely close to the same style.
You're using completely different yeast, different malts, different hops. None of that made its way over.
That's just the Brits trying to make the Germans look bad.
Anton's Austrian.
Eh.
All right. He's actually, he's Bohemian, not Bavarian. So what actually happened was these two guys actually just figured out or learned from the Brits how to make pale malt. Because up until this point, the German beers, the Bohemian beers, the Bavarian beers were more dark, not a Schwarz beer really, but think more like some of those beers we had from Mother Earth that were like sort of dark German style beers.
Yeah, and as lager brewers, they didn't care for the yeast or the wort of British ale brewers. However, the malting process Brits used for pales, bitters, and IPAs was unique and not common on the continent. So ultimately, the malts they produced are still the standard malts for this type of beer, for your Munichs and your Viennas. So it is something unique in all its own.
Yeah, so they created the Munich-style malt and the Vienna-style malt from this learning process.
Mm-hmm.
Both of these beers, so in 1833, they learned the secret. Both beers are introduced in 1841, and they're both called Marzens because they were brewed in March.
Sedlmeyer?
You can call him Gabriel.
Gabriel, yeah, that's a lot easier, introduced his beer at the 1841 Oktoberfest. And for those of you who don't know what Oktoberfest actually is, it's a German harvest festival, and it was started being called Oktoberfest Bier in 1872. So this is just a annual harvest tradition festival that's grown into this giant beer festival that everybody thinks of in, honestly, the movie Beer Fest.
Yeah.
Me has been running through my head all day as we prepared for this episode.
Well, I guess since we're talking about Oktoberfest, let's have our second Oktoberfest from Germany.
Yeah.
This is our Warsteiner Oktoberfest.
It is a Marzen as well. It is 5.9% ABV, so the exact same as the Spaten, but it's only slightly less bitter at 21 IBUs as opposed to the Spaten's 23. Not that we'd be able to tell a difference.
Not that there's low IBUs.
So this is an authentic German specialty. It's brewed according to the German purity laws, as are all Warsteiner beers in limited quantities for Oktoberfest. The special edition is said to be well balanced. It's mild and smooth taste with a soft hoppy aftertaste. So there again, it's that sweetness up front from these more heavily caramelized malts, but then it's being offset just enough by that hot bitterness to round the beer out.
Yeah, and this beer is a lot lighter than the Spaten.
Yeah, I was actually amazed by that.
This is almost a clear pale ale as opposed to anything close to an amber lager in terms of color. Now, it pours like a lager. It smells like a lager. It tastes like a lager. It's good.
It actually smells maltier than the Spaten somehow. Maybe just a little more earthy?
The Spaten, to me, smelled a little skunky. And that may be because they ship in glass in green glass bottles as opposed to brown. So it may have turned a little bit, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime import beers are always hard to get proper in the States because they have to travel so far.
Yeah. And you know what's actually interesting, going back to the Spaten for just a split second, is if you look at the bottle, it's actually labeled on the front as a malt liquor.
Oh, dang it.
Yeah. For some reason, I don't know if that is what that is, but it says malt liquor.
We're not getting into that.
No. Okay.
Thinking about these Oktoberfests, a British gentleman, so this is after everything's been stolen. Not stolen. All the ideas and thoughts have been taken and moved over to the...
Reappropriated.
Thank you.
You're sort of welcome.
Like New Belgium reappropriating yeast. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was borrowing without asking with no intention of returning.
Of course. They actually did return in terms of good flavor and good beer to the Brits. So, and...
They showed those dirty Brits how to brew beer.
Yeah. So in 1866, the British man traveled to Vienna and got his first taste of the Märzen. And this is what he called it. Above all... Let me try my British accent and then I'll...
No.
Oh.
Just say it.
Okay. Yeah. Above all, that when poured into a glass fresh from a cask just brought up from the ice cellar, it glows like fluid amber and is crowned with a delicate beating of bubbles, which are true bubbles of the air and not like the soapy foam of Scotch ale, bubbles of the earth. To sip from a glass of lager, puffing wreaths from a cigarette of choice Latakia, while you gaze vaguely to a sky flaming with the gold and crimson of a Danubian sunset and catch the rhythm of waltzes and mazurkas?
I honestly thought you were just making this up as you go along after the first few sentences.
This is the perfection of ignorant and mechanical bliss, and nowhere else is such blessedness so surely to be found.
So with that glowing review by a Brit of German beer, obviously Dreyer's beer, the Spaten, was a huge success overnight as it was the palest lager until 1842 when Grohl introduced the Pilsner.
So Dreyer is the Austrian, not Spaten.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Oh.
Sorry about that.
Gosh, baby.
It's my fault. It's my fault.
Mm-hmm. You can't use middle names here.
Well, Gabriel Sedlmeyer, his beer came out in 1841. Oktoberfest beer, awesome. It sort of sat on the shelf.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Yep, that was my bad. Yep, Dreyer is definitely from Vienna. So in the 1870s, the Schweinfurt Brewery was the biggest in continental Europe. Bass was the largest in the world due to the popularity of the Vienna lager. This put Vienna on the map as the brewing capital of the world.
This was a huge brewery at the time. It was Schweinfurt. I'm going to butcher it.
Schweinfurt.
He just really killed it with this Vienna lager. He was just doing such good work. And then, like I said, Spaten sort of didn't really capitalize on their Märzen because the Germans didn't really like it. They liked it for fun, but they were drinking the Dunkel lagers, the dark lagers that we've had before.
Mm-hmm.
So Spaten became the largest brewery in Munich because of their Dunkel, not their Oktoberfest.
Yeah, which is interesting. And just for a split second while we're drinking this Warsteiner, you said that the Spaten was a little skunky. I kind of think that this one's actually a little skunky. Like, up front, it's lighter,
yeah,
but it's a little more caramely on the back than the Spaten was to me.
I'm pretty sure it's because they're imported and who knows how long they were sitting in a boat and on a shelf. And that's unfortunate. Like I said, unfortunate with the imports.
Yeah.
So, this may be a good time for us to start thinking about the Vienna lagers themselves and not move all the way over to the American Oktoberfest.
Yes, and what we know today.
The Vienna lager that that Anton made, the Schweinfurt Brewery, they sold out in 1978.
So they had a good run of it.
They did. They were going for a while.
Going for over 100 years. They sold out to Brau Union Österreich.
Yes.
Österreich?
Österreich. It's Austria. The Brewers Union of Austria.
There you go. Well, yeah, I could have inferred that had I actually thought about it. So Spaten still exists and sells Marzen to the masses, but Marzen in America is often only released with the coming of fall and is somewhat misappropriated with the German Harvest Festival, Oktoberfest. So that's why you see stuff marketed as Oktoberfest that isn't actually an Oktoberfest.
Yeah. So let's go back to what Anton was doing. He made the Vienna lager. What he created was the Vienna style malt and then created a lager around it. Modern day, there's a reason why we didn't get any Vienna lagers from Vienna, unfortunately. It's because they're not commonly brewed in Vienna.
No. So both of our Vienna lagers today actually come from America in breweries that we haven't done before. Devil's Backbone, which is another sellout episode if we ever do that one, and Brooklyn Brewing. So Brooklyn Brewing, I think, will be the first one we have here. Mm-hmm. It is the Brooklyn Lager, and it is a Vienna lager. It's 5.2% ABV, 33 IBUs, and Andrew, I know you're excited about the malt bill.
I am, because I think they're calling this the wrong thing. It has two-row American malt, C60 malt, and Munich malt, which makes me think this is actually a fest beer or Oktoberfest beer as opposed to a true Vienna lager, because the Vienna lager should have Vienna malt.
But this is also sold year-round.
Yes.
So
it's not a Marzen because it's not brewed in March.
Yeah. The batch brewed in March is a Marzen.
Yes. Dang it.
There you go.
So 1/12 of all Brooklyn lagers are Marzens. Now this one did win. So the other name for Marzen is the Amber Lager. So that's the one you'd expect to see year round is an Amber Lager. And this won the 2018 World Beer Cup gold medal for that Amber Lager.
Probably not a lot of entrants.
There aren't.
Yeah. So that brings to the point, like when you're looking at beer and you see Amber Lager, Vienna Lager, Oktoberfest, and Marzen.
They're typically the
same. It's almost the same thing. Yeah. I mean, it's very similar. It's not exactly the same thing. You know, as we're saying, 5.2%, the Vienna lagers are a little less alcoholic than the Marzens and Oktoberfest. And they're also, at least this Brooklyn lager, is a little bit more bitter.
Yeah. And you can tell that on the nose. I get a little bit more bitterness than I have.
Yeah, you can smell the hops pretty much. And this is kind of more of that amber color. It's still see-through, but it is kind of like just past golden. Mm-hmm. I would say
it's mild, it's nice on the tongue. It really fits with that American, or mm-hmm. that I should say western hemisphere amber lager that I'd expect.
Yeah, so that is actually at 33. I wouldn't expect a huge difference from the Oktoberfest we did, but that is considerably more bitter.
Yeah, it is a lot more on the back
end. It's very noticeably more bitter than the authentic German Oktoberfest that we did.
And the hop bill, I think, is just from my personal taste, is better all around. But then again, I like you and I both like hoppy beers. So.
Yeah, but I mean, it would kind of, to me, actually, I don't think I like it as much as the Spaten and the Warsteiner.
No, I mean, it like any of these fest beers or these, I guess the modern version of Marzen. Yeah, I guess we can use a modern take on Marzen because any March beer would be a Marzen technically. But mm-hmm. since Anton and Gabriel established that the Marzen style is this light lager with either Vienna or Munich malts, yeah, this is sort of, I don't know how it won gold.
Yeah. So let's just touch on some other stuff here. Vienna lagers are not commonly brewed in Vienna, as we said, but instead it's become more of a style in North America. The basin style is akin to the breweries that we've already mentioned, the Dos Equis Amber, Sam Adams Boston Lager, and Victoria. We already said they're a little bit lighter in alcohol and color, and that is why we often think of them when we say Marzen.
This is the fun part. Why are they so popular in Mexico?
I don't know, Andrew. Tell me.
So, back when Mexico was part of France, the French king, or I guess that was a parliament at the time, said, hey, Austrian Archduke, you want to be king of Mexico? And this Austrian Archduke was like, why not? Let's do this. I'm sure his name was Ferdinand. I don't know. So he gets to Mexico in 1864, and he can't find a good beer. So what's he do? He hollers back across the pond, gets himself some Austrian brewers. They come back over. They bring with them their Vienna lager. Now, this poor fella was only emperor of Mexico for a whopping 3 years. He was executed in 1867. However, they liked the beer, I guess, because they left the brewers. The brewers yeah. still there.
So about the time back in the 1800s that he would have had the time to realize he didn't like any beer, send somebody back over to tell them he didn't like the beer, bring people back over and start brewing the beer. He was probably executed right as the first batches were being done, I'm assuming.
That was the first Mexican Oktoberfest. They were just killing him and drinking the Marzins. That's what it was. No.
Yeah, so they obviously liked the brewers and kept the beer. You guys are cool, but he's got to go.
Yeah, so that is the Vienna Lager story of why it's such a popular beer in Mexico. There's also, with the Mexican lagers, we'll probably get into this at a later date, but the pale lagers, like more like your Corona or your Dos Equis Light, those come from a German influence that came over after this.
So the next time you pop open a Corona or Dos Equis, put it in a stein and you wouldn't be wrong.
However, if you put it in a stein and then drop a lime in it, you are wrong.
You'd be very wrong.
I guess if you have a nice, good German, they're not called steins, but the clapper lids that are opaque, you can just drop all the limes in those you want.
I wonder if there was ever Spanish steins.
Oh, I guarantee you there are.
That would be really interesting to see. Okay, now we're off in the weeds, but that would be really cool.
Oh, yes. So let's talk about our second Vienna Lager. This one's from a brewery out of
Virginia.
Technically, it's out of Virginia. Now it's
out of everywhere.
Now it's a member of the InBev Anheuser-Busch family. This is Devil's Backbone.
So they're in the same organization as Wicked Weed, which we've done before. We have both actually been to the Devil's Backbone Brewery in Virginia while we were visiting some friends.
I like
The campus itself was pretty cool. The beer was actually not my favorite.
Really?
There was a couple there that day that were pretty good, but overall, I was underwhelmed with it, I think.
Mm. I really enjoyed it. They had this weird, like, clear IPA that I enjoyed a lot. I just remember it being very unique. I enjoyed it. But yeah, so this is a Vienna Lager. It's 5.2% alcohol and only 18 IBUs.
Yeah, so this is cut in half from what the Brooklyn Lager is. So I'm interested to see the difference.
Yeah. It as a true Vienna Lager, it has Vienna malt, but it also includes Pilsner malts, dark Munich malts, and Karamber.
Cara Amber. I don't know.
There's a double A in there, which is always fun. Always fun for English speakers. We don't know what to do with double vowels, unless it's an E or maybe an I. We butchered that. It's nice. It's light. It's a lager.
Yeah, and so with all of these beers tonight, they're not a lot on the nose. Because these are just a slightly cleaner style of beer, and because there's not a lot of hops in these, along with the purity laws in some of the beers, these are just, the nose just doesn't have a ton on it, at least not for me.
Yeah, lagers in general, and this particularly these, are continental beers. They tend to be light on the hops. Hops give you a ton of aroma. Or if they use hops, they're using like Saaz and other German hops, so they don't have a ton of aroma in them, which is not it's not a good thing or bad thing. It's a style thing. But this one has a really good malt build, I feel.
Yeah, this one actually is fairly malty, and I mean, like, I get no hops on that whatsoever, at least for me. I think as far as the Vienna Lager, like if I'm judging it as being a true lager, actually, for what it's supposed to be, I think the Devil's Backbone is actually a better representation than the Brooklyn.
I'd agree with that. The other one that's got a good one that we couldn't get, well, because they haven't come out yet, is the Sierra Nevada. Yeah, we're recording this, pulling the curtain back. We're not actually recording this during Oktoberfest season. We're recording this in August.
Yeah, almost September, but in August.
Yeah, but no, the Sierra Nevada, I guess this year they're doing an Oktoberfest. They're doing I believe it's a Vorsteiner collab. So they're doing a true Oktoberfest this year. But typically they do a Vienna Lager every year that I think is actually pretty good.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, I did see the Vienna Lager, but it was in the mixed 12-pack. And I would have had to have bought the 12-pack. And I just grabbed a couple of singles instead because I will have no room left in my fridge right now.
Fair enough. Yeah, I'm with you on this one. The Devil's Backbone, while it's definitely more true to style, and I think it's a better beer than the Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm. And it is leaving me with just kind of like that slight hint of like caramel aftertaste that just kind of sits there and lingers around. I can see the Brooklyn probably won gold because it's different.
Yeah.
It's something new for the style. I mean, I'm sure if you're judging amber lagers all day, that would get very monotonous.
Oh, yeah. And also, I mean, we're not professional beer tasters. We don't actually, we're not drinking from the tap in Vienna or you get Vienna lagers.
We're not Cicerones.
Oh yeah, that's the name.
Although maybe one day.
No, you maybe, me not. So, well, I think it might be time to come back. I guess we'll stay on this side of the pond, but let's see what the Americans have done with the German Marzen.
Most American versions of the Märzen use different malts than their German progenitors. Ancestors?
Progenitors.
Progenitor. You had to use a fancy word in that and throw me off. This often creates a different and heavier beer. And this is due to growing conditions between Germany and America.
Yeah, German malts and German hops are, one could say, finicky. And the American climate is not really open to that. We see that a lot with British beers, too. When they try to come across the pond, the British beers couldn't brew them the same way because the malts were just not strong enough, or some would say too strong, and the hops just couldn't grow either. So they had to come up with the American versions of that. So you have a completely different malt bill. You should have a different malt bill. You should have a different hop bill, especially hop bill. I noticed that a lot with the American Oktoberfest.
Yeah, and speaking of American Oktoberfest, we're going to revisit the very first brewery we ever did in Highland Brewing with their seasonal Clawhammer Oktoberfest, which I believe we did mention in the show.
We did. We both talked about how much we enjoyed it as we sort of gave Highland passing marks.
Yeah. I mean, they get passing marks.
They're good beer. So this is a Bavarian-inspired Märzen. So that means it's going to be more like the Munich style. It's not a Vienna lager. It is 5% alcohol, 25 IBUs. And it has a smooth and well-rounded with toasty malt character.
Yeah. They call it Bavarian-inspired Asheville made.
Like the others we've had, it's pretty light on the nose.
Yeah. The nose is muted. I get almost nothing. And it's really not carbonated. So the thing with these Oktoberfests and these Märzens is they're not heavily carbonated beers. So you get some bubbles coming up, but the head is very thin what's there. It may pour with some head, but that dissipates very quickly.
Yeah, that's sort of like when you get that giant bottle of Dos Equis Amber jug of it at Mexican restaurants, and there's beer to the top. There's no head space at all. It's because the lager, this particular lager style, has no head per se.
Yeah, this is one of the better Oktoberfests that I can think of for at least American breweries that we have around here.
Yeah, I know a few years ago, my wife and I got a ton of Oktoberfest. We went to Total Wine and got like 7 or 8 six-packs of Oktoberfest and just tried a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
This is one we go back to after that experience. There's a couple we avoid like the plague.
Yeah, there's always very bad versions of these beers out there. So if you don't like somebody's Oktoberfest or Märzen, don't give up on the style. Keep trying. And then also we would encourage you to seek out the German and Bohemian and Austrian Märzens and Vienna lagers. If you go, I know for us at least, our local Total Wine carries quite a handful of the German Märzens and Oktoberfest. That's where we got our Spaten and our Warsteiner. So if you have a Total Wine near you, that's a great way to get some of that more imported beer that some of your local craft bottle shops probably aren't going to bother to import.
Yeah, imports are a little more difficult, a little trickier to get. They are a very different, they're a lighter flavor than the American versions because of a lot of that hop and that malt build. But I'm feeling with some of the American versions we're going to, not that we're tasting, but that are going to come to pass in the future, those barriers to travel for those malts, those hops, are going to go away.
Yeah, I could kind of see in the future, if you wanted to grow those malts and hops and things like that in climate controlled settings and like greenhouse type settings.
I was thinking about just flying them over.
Oh, I thought you meant like legit growing them, like maybe hydroponically or something.
I mean, you can do that too, but yeah, I'm thinking they'll just fly them over.
Yeah, well, there you go. There's that too.
So that's nice.
Yeah, not a lot on the flavors. The toasty malt character is really about the only thing that stands out in Oktoberfest. And actually, if I'm being honest, back when I first started drinking craft beer, I tended to avoid Oktoberfest.
Oh, I love them.
Well,
Sam Adams has a good Oktoberfest.
Well, I avoided them because they didn't taste like anything.
They were, to me, one of the first like super crushable beers. Like, I can just go to town on this thing. This is the best beer. It's a great time of year. I mean, they're fest beers. They're designed to be drunk when you're drinking a lot. And they are, like we said at the top, you know, they're pretty they're pretty easy drinking, and they're good with all sorts of food types. So you always know in the fall, it doesn't matter what you're having, if you're having your turkey Thanksgiving dinner or your hot dogs at your tailgate, an Oktoberfest works.
Yeah, and even I have done Oktoberfest or Vienna lagers and cooked sausages in them with sauerkraut. And just let all of that soak and cook together. And that is a really great tailgate food with some spicy mustard.
All right. Well, besides the official Oktoberfest beer, Sedlmeyer also gave a few other things to the brewing profession. He introduced steam power in 1844 and reportedly introduced refrigeration to beer brewing in 1873. And we all thank him for that.
Yeah, that has come a long way and been very helpful for beer brewing. So that's your fun fact of the day as far as the Oktoberfest and Marzen's go. And speaking of Oktoberfest, we mentioned earlier that Oktoberfest Bier is one of, if you see that, that means it is a true Oktoberfest beer. Only 6 breweries are allowed to call their beer Oktoberfest Bier, and I'm going to let you pronounce all of those.
These are the 6 main breweries in Munich: Augustiner, Hacker Schwarz, Löwenbräu, Paulaner, Spaten, and Hofbrauhaus. These are the 6 main breweries in Munich. Essentially, they're treating this like a trademark, Oktoberfest Bier.
Yeah, these are the 6 breweries that are allowed to serve beer at Oktoberfest in Munich. So if you go to Germany in Munich for Oktoberfest, which, as I'm saying, it sounds like a bucket list trip that we need to plan.
So it's a 3-week festival, last 2 weeks of September, first week of October. Let's rock it.
Yeah. If you ever go there, you are going to get an Oktoberfest beer from one of these 6 breweries. If you get anything else, you've been cheated.
So when we said that, you know, we have misappropriated the name here, because in America, a lot of times we call our Marzens Oktoberfest. The beer we're about to drink is a Great Lakes Oktoberfest that they say is a Marzen-style lager. Oktoberfest really has nothing to do with it. It's a German harvest festival. That's all that is. It's not anything fancy about the beer type. It's just the time of year to drink the Marzens, because lagers take a long time to...
So you brew it in March and you get to drink it in October.
Yeah, late September, early October. It's like almost 6-month brewing fermenting process, as opposed to ales, which the British were doing. Those take a week or two, tops.
So you can crank out a lot of that very quickly, whereas these German beers, you have to be a little more patient.
Yeah. We have a brewery near us called Red Oak that brews exclusively beers to the 1516 purity laws and exclusively lagers. They have more fermenters than probably any 2 or 3 other breweries in our area, and they don't put
and their output is minimal.
Right, because they have to have such a long fermentation time. Everyone else is doing ale. So we talked about Foothills putting out 40,000 barrels a year. Foothills is slightly larger than Red Oak. Red Oak has so many more fermenters than Foothills does to get the same output, because it takes so long.
Yeah. And this Great Lakes Brewing Oktoberfest, let's jump into it. The bottle says, Prost! Our take on this classic German style is a celebration of maltiness packed with rustic autumnal. I've never seen that word in my life. Flavor is to put a little more oomph into your oompa-pa.
Oompa-pa! So I used to play tuba. I love a good oompa-pa. Polka. Oh yeah, mariachi, I'm here. When we talk about Mexican beers, we'll talk about how mariachi and polka are related, but that's not today.
I don't think anybody but you is interested in that comparison.
There is one tuba player that's a listener.
So back to the beer. This is a Great Lakes Brewing Oktoberfest. It's a Marzen, of course. It is actually the strongest one of the evening at 6.5% ABV. So if that tells you anything, remember we said this is going to be in the 4 to 6 range. So 6.5 is on the stronger side for this. It's 20 IBU, so again, not very bitter. And it is an amber lager with rich malt flavor. And it is supposed to be balanced by fragrant, noble hops.
So yet again, it's not going to be too hoppy. And this was my audible. I picked this one out because, like I said, every year we just buy a bunch of different Oktoberfests and try them. I particularly like this one, or at least I did last year. I'm hoping they kept the same recipe, so let's find out. It is light on the nose. I get a little bit more malt, a little sweeter grain build on it than anything else we've had tonight.
Yeah, it is maybe slightly darker than the Clawhammer.
Yeah, it's still clear, though. I mean,
yeah, I mean, when we say darker, none of these beers are opaque. These are see-through beers. I actually do like this, I think, better than the Clawhammer. And I like Clawhammer pretty good for an Oktoberfest, but this, yeah. I've never actually had the Great Lakes Oktoberfest.
I remember it being a little bit more caramelly, and a lot of all that's due to the American malts. But this is, I like this.
Yeah, there's that hop bitterness, whereas the German ones kind of had the hop on the end.
Mm-hmm.
This one seems to be a little more hoppy in the middle and then fade back into that caramel sweet note. So it's kind of like it's bookended by that malt with the hops in the middle, which is a little different. And I kind of am enjoying that because I just like that sweetness on the end with the style of beer a little more, I think.
Yeah. And I do like that, you know, the American brewers are trying this style at the detriment of the fermenters, for lack of a better term, because they do take so long, but they do create, they, because they can use such, at least the ones that don't follow the 15-16 purity laws, they can take such liberties with the grains and such liberties with the hops too. You get such a unique flavor.
Yeah, and it's an ode to the style. It's an ode to a seasonal beer that's known around the world. I like it. I do believe that there's something in there where the Oktoberfest has been misappropriated. But again, that's playing on just like the such the well-known name when you say Oktoberfest. And it just plays on that season, that event that everybody thinks of. And I think that's kind of probably more of a marketing thing than anything.
Could you imagine if we had a Coachella beer? Like, there's a, like, everyone gets, like, if, because that's essentially what this is. Not Coachella. Coachella's a terrible example. I really hope we don't have a Coachella beer because it's probably going to taste like Bud Light.
Yeah, I was going to say, we probably do have a Coachella beer and it's probably Budweiser.
But, like, that's what this is. It's a large festival that's been going on for a while. And
hundreds of years
and this company Spaten essentially created this beer for the festival that's been going on since the 1800s,
and it's still here to this day, kicking around. And that shows you how willing to stick to the traditions through everything that the world has gone through since the 1840s. This beer hasn't changed, and the German culture still celebrates this festival with these breweries, and they have stuck to it, and it's become an endearing tradition across the world. People go from all over the world to go to Oktoberfest. I actually knew one guy who said his dad goes just like about every other year.
And this is also still a regional festival to the Germans. Oktoberfest is their harvest festival. It's their congrats, we finished up, we made it through the harvest, we have food for the winter. So I was reading something and it said Oktoberfest in Munich is still roughly 60% native Munichers. I am sorry to all of our Munich listeners.
Yeah, but if we have any German-speaking fans, we apologize profusely for the butchering everything that we have given the German language in this episode.
For it all is, the things.
It is one of the harsher languages to try and speak correctly.
Well, as an American, yes.
Yes.
I'll say, when spoken properly, German, I mean, it's clearly not like a Romance language, but it's still a heck of a lot better sounding than English, in my opinion. The German beer, the Oktoberfest, the Vienna Lager, what we know today as the Marzen style, that's an excellent, excellent beer.
Yeah, and so, I mean, we just encourage you to get out there and try Marzens, Oktoberfest, Vienna Lagers, and Amber Lagers, and really try and find some of these true German Oktoberfest beers if you can, and let us know what you think.
Well, I hope you enjoyed our episode on the Marzen style. I think the only thing we can say left is Wiedersehen.
Prost.
Prost. Thank you for listening to this week's Brew News.
If you enjoyed the show, please take a moment to subscribe and give us a rating in whichever app you found us on. We value your feedback, and it also helps the show reach more viewers.
If you have any thoughts or suggestions for future breweries, or are with a brewery and like to join us, feel free to tweet at or follow us on Twitter, @brew_news. On Untappd, Travis is MatherNuts, and Andrew is TubaSteve.
We're on Instagram @brewnewspod, and you can visit our website, brewnewspod.com, where we will post our tasting and episode notes.
You can also find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Anchor, Spotify, or whichever podcast platform you use.
Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week to look at another exciting brewery.
Cheers!
Have you ever wondered how you could join the Brew News crew? We'll swing over to patreon.com/brewnewspod and you can join us. We have 3 different tiers for all of our patrons. At the lager level, you earn early access to all of our podcast episodes. At the IPA level, you get early access to our podcast episodes, but you get special weekly beer tastings that are done by various members of the crew. And you get special video presentations, including our Beermas special. At the stout level, you get everything you get at the IPA level, but you also get to appear on one episode of the Brew News Pod, and when we have some swag, we'll send some your way. So feel free to swing over to patreon.com/brewnewspod That again is patreon.com/brewnewspod, and join the crew.